just wipe my nose. Right. So, there's this coronavirus thing happening, right?
Yeah.
And I'm going to smash through the fear in the name of Jesus that brings. Because, you know, I'll get on to something I was writing down in a little while. But Psalm 71, verses 14 to 16. For me personally, that's seen me through a really dark, dark, dark time. Probably one of the darkest times of my life. Because about 5 to 6 months ago, all I could think about was popping all of the antidepressant pills that I had and ending my life. But Jesus didn't want me to do that. Jesus saved me from that moment. And he's led me back to his word. And I stand here today to proclaim this word to you. That you will have hope in your life. That Jesus is greater than any virus, any sickness. And we are called to be a people who overcome. So Psalm 71, verses 14 to 16 says this. But as for me, I shall always have hope. That needs to be our declaration every morning, whatever we're doing, wherever we're going. As for me, I shall always have hope. I will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteousness, of your salvation all day long, though I know not its measure. I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, O sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteousness, yours alone. Check out Psalm 71. I'm not going to read it in its entirety because I've got a lot of stuff that I want to say that I'm really, really excited about. And I'm really excited about it because it's a word in season. And as Sharon was sharing earlier on, I ain't even said that, I Sam. Borodar, everybody. Borodar. There we go. Good morning. I've got a bit of Welsh in there as well. Come on. Diolch. 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 Wow. Anyway, yeah. Tangent. I would start speaking in Welsh. Something that Sharon was sharing about God being into tattoos. And it got me, thinking. I needed to write it down. So I asked Andrew for a pen. I was writing it down. And I just really wonder whether you have truly been marked by Jesus. Have you truly encountered him? Has he left a mark in your life that you cannot deny that it's him?
Yeah.
And that he is so consumed and filled your heart with himself that you cannot contain yourself when you see somebody and you wonder, do they know this Jesus that I know? And you have to, you can't stop yourself. You just want to proclaim who Jesus really is. And this word that I'm so excited about here this morning is a really timely one. Because we're in mid-March. And I don't know where you are in the context of your walk with God. I don't know if you know him. I don't know if you truly know him, whether you've truly been captured by him. But usually at about mid-March time, all of those things that you kind of wanted for this year or for this decade, they kind of, I don't know about you, but I start off a year and I think, yeah, there's things that I want to do. There's things that I want to accomplish. There's maybe New Year's resolutions. Oh my gosh, we're in mid-March and I'm talking about New Year's resolutions. But I'll hold my hand up if you've made a New Year's resolution and it's not quite worked out, I am one of those people, so it's okay. I wanted to write down a blessing each day and put it in a jar, and then, you know, New Year's Eve, I would open this jar up, and I would read about all the blessings, 365, you know, maybe I might put a few more in as well, and read them and be blessed by them, and actually think, yeah, it'd be great, yeah, and I kind of failed. But where are you this morning? What is it that you want in this year? At such a time as this. I want to put something to you as you kind of think about the year ahead. Maybe where you are right now and you're looking ahead. Maybe you're looking ahead in trepidation. Maybe you're looking ahead and, you know, things are going all right in your life. Thank you very much. But if Jesus, I mean, he's with us here anyway. But just really hear this as you think about what you want for this year. What do you really want? Jesus comes into the midst of our gathering here, and he stares at you, and he looks at you. And the only way Jesus can look at you, and he stares into your soul, your very soul, your very being, and he says, "What do you want?" I wonder, what would your response be? How would you respond to that question? Well, I mean, what is it, church, that you want over anything else? Anything in your life, what is it that you want? What is it that you want right now? What is it that you want this year? And actually, as we begin to think of those things and they start to percolate in our minds and we start to think of those things that we really want above anything else, is Jesus in those things? Let's be even more contentious and actually put it out there. Is he even in your top 10 of the things that you want? But yeah, I come to church on a Sunday and I give an hour and a half, give or take, 5-10 minutes and a cup of coffee and a biscuit. And I put my, you know, shrapnel in the bucket or in the bag. But really, if Jesus is Lord and King of your life, an hour and a half in a week, really? Is he really King and Lord of your life? If all you're giving him is an hour and a half a week? Like, really? Do you want him to work in your life, to move in your life? Like, but you're only giving him an hour and a half a week? Like, really? Because this morning, I believe what God wants to do is he wants to draw a line in the midst of our gathering. He wants to draw a line and he invites every single one of us, wherever we are, whatever we've done, however we're feeling, whether we're sick, whether we're well, it doesn't matter. Jesus calls you by name and he says, come. But the only condition really is that if you are saying, yes, Lord Jesus, I want to come. Yes, I actually, what I want more than anything, Jesus, is to follow you, is to know you, is to love you, is to give my life for you. Actually, you need to give all of your life. You can't just give one little bit of your life on a Sunday morning. Actually, Jesus died not to be your mate, but to be your King, to be your Lord, to be your Saviour, so that you give everything in your life to follow him. And you cannot contain yourself, but you go out into a world that is fearful, that is lost, that is broken, and that is consumed by fear and disillusionment and depression, that is on the rise, that is ramping up like you would not believe. But we have a hope. And his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus.
Yeah.
But do you want to submit your life fully to him? Every area of your life. He's drawing a line and he said, if you step over this line, you'll give me all of your life. Not just a little bit, but all of your life. You know, and I ask that question in light of where we're at. I ask that question of where we're at this moment in our lives as we think about all of the things that are going on in the world. I ask that question in light of reading of an encounter in Scripture. Because it's always so important that we go back to Scripture. This question, what do you want, is a question that Jesus himself asked. So we need to take it seriously. Because the Word of God, when we read it, when we pick it up and we start turning the pages, this Word of God is dangerous. Why is it dangerous? It's a bit of a random thing to say. Well, it's dangerous to boredom, it's dangerous to injustice, and it's dangerous to despair and to depression. And we're called to read that Word. This is the Word that brings hope and life and purpose. This is the Word of God for us in this season, for such a time as this.
Yeah.
We need to grab a hold of this Word. We need to love this Word. We need to declare this Word. Because we are a people who carry a hope, who carry a truth that the world needs to hear. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So let's get into the Word, shall we? John chapter 1, verses 35 to 42. This is what happens. So Jesus is walking around doing his thing. And it's such an amazing encounter. Like, you might think when you read, when we go through it, you're like, really? But we'll get to that in a minute. So the next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. And when he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." And when the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them. Note that. That's key. Jesus saw them. Like he saw them. And turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" And they said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. And it was about the 10th hour. So 10 o'clock in the morning, they spend the whole day with Jesus, their king, right? Their king. Are we that king? To spend the whole day with Jesus? Actually, you know what? An hour and a half, I want more. I want more of you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Is that our heart? And others? As iron sharpens iron, as we gather here, are we going to encourage one another to pursue, love, follow, proclaim Jesus in our everyday? Because that's all we're here for. We're not here for a jolly. We're here to encourage one another. Lift one another up and actually point to Jesus. Because without him, we're but dust. So back to the text. "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. And Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. And the first thing Andrew did was not make a cup of tea. Wasn't going on Facebook. Was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah. We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And then he brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. And those seven verses, maybe you're thinking about this encounter and you're like, "Gav, I've read that all before. What are you doing? Reading just seven verses. What's it all about? What possible difference could that make to my life? How is that going to have an impact? Like, I don't get it. It's just a small little snippet of scripture." But before you go on your phone, before you go on Facebook, before you drift off and think about your dinner, look at how Jesus interacts with the disciples. Look what he says. Like, really, truly stop and look at what Jesus says. Because he stares right at the disciples who are approaching him. And he asks them, "What do you want?" And we can smile, and we can sing songs about Jesus, and lift our hands in worship. And we can fool everybody around us that actually Jesus is King and Lord of our lives. And we can say all of these things, and say the hallelujahs, and do all of these things that we do, right? But Jesus, we read in the next chapter, he knows what's in the heart of a man. He knows what's in your heart this morning. He knows where you're at. He sees you, he knows you, he likes you, he loves you, and he calls you to come as you are. So there's no show with Jesus. Come as you are. He sees the motives. He sees the hurt. He sees the pain that you carry. He sees your fears. He sees your insecurities. He sees your brokenness, even though you cover it up quite well with other people. He sees you for who you truly are. So you can fool everybody else. And yourself. And even Andy and Sharon, maybe. But you can't fool him. What do you want? Really? What do you want? But also, it's not just this question of Jesus. It's important. Look at the response of the disciples. We go back into the text. And he's asked them this mind-blowing, incredible question. It's like, duh, it's obvious what they want, right? But is it? Because their response is, where are you staying? Jesus, where are you staying? Because more than anything, I want to be with you, Jesus. Like these guys, they had responsibilities, they had family, they had a job. They were following John and they were committed to following this guy. And yet actually, they want to spend time with Jesus? Like, really? Like, at that time, first century Palestine, looking into the context of that day, like, you wouldn't just leave everything. You'd have responsibility, you'd have a duty to look after your family. Like, this is mind-blowing, radical, turning the world upside down kind of calling. Kind of stuff that's going on. And they're saying, Jesus, I want to be with you all day. Like, what? What about your family? What about your, you know, what about all of the things you need to do that day? No, Jesus, actually, you know what? Where are you staying? Because where you are, I want to be, Jesus. Wherever you go, I'll go. Because I want to spend time sitting at your feet. I want to find out what this mission you're on about is all about. I want to find out what it means to truly live. Because if you truly know Jesus, and he's marked your life, and you've encountered him, and he's put that seal on your life, you'll never be the same. People will see that in you. Because when you know the Father, you will truly know the Son. The scripture says it the other way around. If you know the Son, you will know the Father. Because if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. Free. Are you free this morning? Wasn't going to ask that. But are you? Are you free? What do we yearn for truly? Like, let's be honest. Let's put all this stuff aside. Let's be really honest. What is it that you yearn for above anything else? There's a great cracking, we say, me and my boys back in Wales, there's a banging tune that is. Yeah, and it is. It's amazing. Casting crowns. Here at your feet, I lay my future down. All of my dreams I give to you now. And I find peace. Jesus, Jesus, at your feet, oh, to dwell and never leave. Jesus, Jesus, at your feet, there is nowhere else for me. Nowhere else. I don't want to be down here. I don't want to be just drifting on by. I don't want to miss Jesus. I want to be where he is and doing what he's called me to do. And I really pray with all my being and my hope that this message that I believe is such a timely message for us as his church, that we get that. It's all about him. It's all about Jesus. Only Jesus. Precious Jesus. Beloved Saviour who saved a wretch like me. This skinny, balding Welsh boy with a scraggly beard that stands before you today has been saved by Jesus.
Yeah.
Has been rescued from hell. And is now set free. Because when the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. And those lyrics, I give it all to you, basically, is what it's saying. Jesus, this is all I have. Take it, because my dream is to be with you. And you know, there's that realization that when we look through the narrative of Scripture and we look through the Old Testament and the New Testament, people have the same thing, the same moment, the same realization of, oh wow, this is who he is. Moses, you know, he's this super leader, right? He delivers the people out of Egypt. Like, no one in their right mind would go into Egypt, right? The superpower of the day. And he had a stutter. And he's like, oh, you're not going to do this. And he gets them, and he's leading millions of people. You know what? It doesn't go to his head. Why? Because he knows who's guiding him. Because he knows And he knows because he cries out to God in Exodus 33, verse 15, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here." But before we do anything in our everyday life, before we even start, like before we turn the mobile phone on or before we go on Facebook or whatever we do, are we saying, "God, if you're not with me today, I don't want to do anything. If you're not with me, God, if I don't, Lord, if I haven't put that armor on, God, like I know I need to come before you and be covered by you for this day so that I can proclaim who you are, I don't want to go any further. Because I know I need you, God." Do we have that desire? Do we have that desire to see this impact this church family here, Father's House? I know Andy and Sharon well. They've got a heart and a vision and a passion to see lives impacted and transformed, and you need to honour them, you need to get behind them, and you need to stand with them, because for such a time as this, the time is now. That we're called to go now. That people are going to hell. It's real. People are dying. It's real. It's happening. We're called to go and proclaim who Jesus is. And if the dreams that we have for our life, when we think about, what is it that I yearn for? What is it that I want? If those dreams don't scare us, then we're limiting the potential God has put in our hearts, and actually we're limiting what he can do through us. And I don't say that to be mean, I say that because with all of my heart, I want to see a breakthrough. I want to see a moment where God breaks in and people are brought to their knees. And those revivals that we heard about, all of all those bygone years that have happened, actually are happening right in front of our eyes because we chose to surrender everything that we have.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jesus, use me, go before me.
Yes, Lord.
Make your name famous through me, Jesus. Because it's all about you. What is it that we want? You know, Jesus had some things to say about this. He had quite a lot to say, Jesus. And just as a tangent, I just remember I heard a message like years back, and it stuck with me through the years. This guy got a great speaker, really anointed because he didn't have much hair, so anointing is real, right? And he stands up and he says, "When was the last time you actually flipped through the Bible, picked one of the Gospels, and read it just for fun? Like, not like, I'm going to come and I'm going to not move from here until I understand the Hebrew and the Greek. Right, Bill blocks down the road isn't going to give two monkeys about the Hebrew and the Greek. He's going to want to know if Jesus is real." But reading through the Gospels for fun, like, wow. So read the Gospels. Because Jesus has some things to say to us as we wrestle with this yearning, this desire that we have. Right? Matthew 6, 20 to 21. "But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves won't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." What do you treasure? Because that's closely linked with what do you want in your life. What is it that you cherish, treasure, yearn for above anything else?
Yeah.
He says more. He says, "Out of the overflow of the heart, man speaks."
Yeah.
What are you filling your heart with? What are we, as the church, filling our hearts and our minds with? Because if we're going to see breakthrough, we need to come back to Scripture. We need to come back to Jesus. We need to come back to the one who we proclaim as Lord and King of our hearts, our lives. So, Father's House. What a beautiful name that is, Father's House. I look at you this morning. Are we going to run after the things of God? Are we?
Yeah. Yes. Amen.
What is it that you want? Because a number of years back, I remember I was at the prayer meeting and God was speaking and there was pictures being shared and prophetic words, and yet this one picture that really stood out to me. And it was about a ship, and there was a ship going through the waters. But actually, the ship couldn't get through the waters. It was weighed down by so many things, so much of the load, and they needed to cast off the load so that the ship could go where it was meant to go. And it was such a powerful picture. It was a powerful picture because the cry over that picture that echoed for me. Like when I see that in the spirit and I see that boat is clear the decks. Clear the decks. And it's not just a clear the decks, but it's a clear the decks. It's an urgent call. Like if this ship is going to get through, it needs to get rid of the stuff. It needs to get rid of the unnecessary load. And there's so many of us in the church today, so many Christians, you know, are walking through this life and we're carrying and holding on to so much stuff. We're like that ship that needs to get rid of this fear or whatever it is, or this insecurity, or there's maybe this strongholds in your life that you need to get rid of, you need to do business with. The line's been drawn. Jesus says, come, get rid of the stuff.
Come on. Yeah.
Be free. You're not called to walk in bondage. You're walking around, the chains have been broken. We sang that so, led so amazingly by Sharon. Break every chain. We're walking around, right? And we've got the broken manacles of the chains on our wrists. Cast them off. You don't need to carry them anymore. Clear the decks. Get rid of the stuff. Be free. You know, it might not be negative stuff either. It might actually be good stuff. Like family, job, something you do every week. But when Jesus asks this question that he asks, he sees right through into your heart. As we represent him, I've said it before, but I really believe I need to say it again. He sees you. He knows you. Did you know that he knows you? And he likes you. But he's not your mate. He's the Lord and the King of your heart. And the King calls you to come across this line and surrender. Everything. Even that last little drop that you're holding back, but everything. So, the challenge is there. I won't be speaking for too much longer. You'll be glad to know. But there's these verses that come up time and time and time again. You ask Sam, whenever I chat to him, whenever I'm writing something to encourage him, it's good to encourage one another, right? When was the last time you wrote something to somebody to encourage them? It's part of what we do as church family. Encourage one another. It's biblical. Let's do more of that rather than moaning, yeah?
Yeah, come on.
Says Hebrews 12, 1 to 2, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us cast off everything. Note that word, everything. That hinders us, and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us fix our eyes. Let us fix our eyes on the author and perfecter of our faith, Jesus Christ, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I could go on, because I love that passage of scripture. I love it. It just captures me every time. Does the word of God capture your heart? Just feel, does it really capture your heart? Because if your answer this morning is, yeah, Jesus, I'm serious. Jesus, I'm all in. Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to know you. I want to live for you. I'm going to proclaim your name fearlessly until I've got no voice left. I know what that's like, because I lost my voice over this last week. and it was touch or go whether I was going to proclaim this message here this morning. You know, Jesus had other ideas. I'm proclaiming it.
Yeah.
What are we proclaiming? Tomorrow morning, when you wake up, and it's raining, and you've had a rubbish night's sleep, and everything seems to be overwhelming you again. Are we going to be saying, Jesus, 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 I'm so in need of you. We are all so in need of him. And our world is so in need of him. What is it that he is calling you to serve in his house, here, here, that would impact your life and make such a difference that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you're going to have so many testimonies, there ain't going to be time for the word to be preached because there's so many testimonies, what God is doing through your life. Come on, do we want that? I want to be a part of a church that when that stuff's happening, because it should be happening.
Yeah.
Why is it not happening? We're not plugging in. So let's plug in. Floyd McClellan, who's a great geezer, right? He says, we can't just do church as usual. We can't. God wants us to reach the lost and to empower one another to live for something greater than ourselves. I'll read that again. We can't just do church as usual.
Yeah.
We're called to reach the lost. That's our calling. Come on. Let's get excited about that. But we're also called to empower one another. Look around. Have a look. This is your family. Who are you empowering in your family? Have a look. Have a look. This is your family. Like, Andy, your family. Like, Sam, your family. Sam, you know anyway, mate, yeah? We're family. But I don't know about you, but I want to cross that line, and I hope you're with me. I want to cross that line this morning because this is preaching to myself as much as anybody else. I have to catch myself and be like, yeah, what is it that I want? Like, oh God, what is it that I really want? Like, and it gets me. I want to truly live for something greater than myself.
Yeah.
I want to fall before a holy God, because every single one of us, every single person will come and we will go to a great white throne, Revelation 21. Not Revelation 22, Revelation 21, we go back from what Sharon shared earlier, and we all come to a great white throne, and we all have to give an account for the life that we've lived, and Jesus will reveal in that book that is about everything that we've done of our lives, he will reach and he will reveal by fire what it is that we've wanted and yearned for and lived for. And he saved our lives, and we see him, and will we know him, and will he be familiar to us as the Lord and King of our hearts? That's the reality. That's what drives me, actually. You know what? I want to come before Jesus and be like, my King, my Lord, my Saviour. We're called to live for something greater than ourselves, no matter what the world says.
Yeah.
One share, one final thing. Every time I share this, it's really hard for me to share it because I start crying. And I start crying because this woman, I haven't even met her, but I just know the story. I know the story of kind of what she must have gone through. Her name's Victoria. She lives in India. Victoria has a real problem. Victoria is a leper. Victoria is rejected. Victoria is told she doesn't amount to anything. Victoria says, you'll never make a difference. Victoria says, you stay there in the dirt, in the gutter, because you don't matter. She's lost everything. She's lost her family. She's lost her kids. She's lost her job. She's lost everything she'd ever hoped for. All her dreams for her life. When you ask her this question, you kind of think, what could she possibly come out with? And you know what? She was asked this question. Ravaged by leprosy, no fingers on either hand, undesirable and shunned by society. What could she possibly want in her life? And when asked, she smiled and her face shone in her reply. Jesus means everything to me. Everything. Everything. Does Jesus mean everything to us? Does he?
Yeah.
So let's come and let's surrender all that we have, all that we are. One final thing, and it will be one final thing. Oh man, come on. There's a guy called Ravi Zacharias. Look him up on YouTube. Answers all of the crazy big questions that the church is too scared to answer. I mean, the world struggles with, right? And he says, we get it so wrong. Because we think we have to clean ourselves up and make ourselves perfect and right and clean before we can come to God. And actually, what that is a complete misrepresentation and a lie. Because we come to Jesus as broken and as messed up and as dirty and as just absolutely covered in filth as we can possibly be before him. Because Jesus is the only one who can clean us up. He's the only one. Only one. Only Jesus. Period. So come on. Come to Jesus. Let's do business with him. Let's follow him. Let's step over that line. Would you stand if you're able? If you want to, I'll encourage you now to put your hand on your heart. I'm making a covenant here this morning. Holy Spirit, would you come? Holy Spirit, would you fill this place?
Yes.
Would you fill each and every person who has stood up and is committing their life afresh to you today? No turning back. We've all decided to follow you, Jesus. We give you our lives. We give you our hearts. And we say as one church, send me. Send us. Come. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, I want to pray over this church. I want to pray that you'd release visions. I want to pray that you release dreams. I want to pray that you release wonders. For such a time as this, Lord Jesus, I pray. I pray over this house. I pray for increase.
Yes, come on.
So often we're consumed by the numbers, but actually, you know what? We need an increase of you.
Yes, Lord.
Less of us and more of you.
Yes, man.
More of you. Lord, we clear the decks of our hearts. We give them to you. We clear away all the stuff, all of the fear, all of the worry, all of the anxiety, all of the strongholds, the insecurities. Lord, we ask for a fresh revelation of what those things will be. Here we are, Lord. Here we are, Lord. May you give us a passion and a word for the people we meet everywhere. May we put your armor on every day, every morning, and say, Jesus, I'm ready. Jesus, I'm living for you. Jesus, send me. Put the armor on so that you'd be able to take your stand against the devil's schemes. After you've done everything to stand, stand firm there. Buckle the belt of truth around your waist. With the breastplate of righteousness fitted on. Your feet shod with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And put on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. And pray for one another. Pray for all the saints. Lord, we stand as your warriors here, as your people, ready to go, ready to serve, ready to minister, and ready to proclaim your name to the ends of the earth, to the neighbour, to the person on the checkout, to that person who always sits on the road in the coffee shop, to that person in the queue. And we choose the longest queue, Lord, because we get to have more time to witness to that person about who you are, what you've done, and why that matters. We want to live for you, Jesus. So come, move us, shake us, empower us, envision us, equip us to go. In your name, for your glory. Amen.